Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This month we're focusing on the beginning of the most important 3 years in history, the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First, we talked about his first public appearance at his baptism, where he was anointed as our prophet, priest, and king. Then, last week, we talked about his first sermon, "The Kingdom of God is Near, Repent and Believe the Gospel." This week, we talk about his first disciple, the first of the 12 that we know that met Jesus and believed in him as the Messiah. And the name of that first disciple is Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. It's easy to remember that Andrew is the first disciple because in the list of disciples, Andrew comes first alphabetically. And so that's a reminder, Andrew was the first disciple to follow Jesus. So let's focus on the first disciple today. Let's focus on Andrew. Now, Andrew is, number one, as I said, the first disciple. John chapter 1 describes the first meeting of Jesus and Andrew. John 1, 36 and 37. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So this happened shortly after the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John. John is walking with two of his disciples, and they see Jesus. John immediately points out Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sin of the world. The Gospel of John uses word pictures to describe Jesus, and we get one of them here. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, lambs are used throughout the Old Testament to sacrifice. Their blood was shed so that people might be forgiven. Now, Jesus is the ultimate Lamb. Through his sacrificial death, he takes away the sin of the world. John uses the singular word sin here instead of sins. Jesus, through his sacrificial death, will remove all sin from the world. He will purchase forgiveness of sins for every person, whoever lived or whoever will live. So it's not that Jesus is coming to forgive a bunch of sins. Jesus' death pays the price for all sins for all time. Now, John 1:40 goes on to say, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Andrew is named as a disciple of John the Baptist. A disciple literally means learner. John the Baptist is the rabbi, the teacher, and Andrew is his student, his disciple. John speaks the word of God, Andrew listens, learns, and applies it to his life. Now, when John points to Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Messiah they've been waiting for, Andrew and the other disciple leave John's side, and from that point on become disciples of Jesus. Now, this is absolutely right and correct, exactly what John was directing them to do. John's ministry is to point to Jesus so that people would follow him. Andrew and the other disciple now have a new rabbi, Jesus, the Lord himself. Andrew is such a great example for us. He desires nothing greater than to hear the Lord's own word. He wants to listen to Jesus, learn from Jesus, and then apply Jesus' teachings to his own life, which is what you and I are gathered here today to do. We're gathered together to hear the words of our rabbi, Jesus. We listen to Jesus every time we open the Bible, every time we listen to his word preached, every time we go to Bible study. We're listening to Jesus. We listen to Jesus, we learn from Jesus, and then we apply his word to our life. So to learn the word is not enough. We're not just scholars. We're practical learners, right? We want to put this into practice in our life. Or as Jesus tells us in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" The point of the Bible is to put it into practice in every part of our life. Andrew's such a great example of that for us. He is the first disciple, the first person to call Jesus rabbi. He's also the first of the 12 disciples to witness to his faith. Number two, Andrew is the first witness. John 1, 41 and 42. Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. As a disciple of Jesus, the first thing Andrew does is find his brother Simon and says to Simon, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One." And then Andrew leads Simon to Jesus. When Jesus meets Simon, he looks at him and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will now be called Cephas," which means Peter. And that, of course, means The Rock. So don't confuse him with Dwayne Johnson. The original Rock was Peter, not Dwayne Johnson. Again, what a great example Andrew is for us. He didn't have any training. He didn't go to any classes. Now, those are good things. That's good to learn better how to share your faith. But Andrew just couldn't wait. He was so excited about meeting Jesus. He wanted his brother Simon to meet him too. I don't know if there's any greater witness to the Lord than our own enthusiasm for the Lord. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Jesus has done so much for me. I bet he can help you too. You know, it reminds me of the excitement of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. When she meets Jesus, when she met Jesus, she couldn't wait to tell people about him and invite them to come and see for themselves. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Is what she said. Now, she wasn't sure at that point, but she was excited. She wanted everyone she knew to meet Jesus. Notice, she doesn't convert anybody. She doesn't give some great sermon. She just invites people. She comes and see, she invites people, come and see. Come and meet Jesus for yourself. It's always Jesus that does the converting. It's always God, through the power of the Spirit, who converts people's hearts. John 4, verse 42. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." As we talked about last week, our prayer for the world is, "Thy kingdom come." We want the kingdom of God to come to us and others. Christ's kingdom comes through the power of his word. Jesus and his word converts Peter. Jesus and his word converts the town. Andrew and the Samaritan woman, they just invited people. Come and see for yourself. Come and meet the most incredible person I've ever known, Jesus Christ. Not all of us are called to be preachers, but all of us are called to be inviters. All of us can invite people to church where they can meet Jesus and hear his word. All of us can invite people to Bible study where they can study his word. In fact, statistics tell us that the way most people come to church is that they are invited by a friend. That's what the Samaritan woman did. That's what Andrew did. And that's what you and I can do as well. So, who's Andrew? Well, Andrew's the first disciple, alphabetically and chronologically. He is also the first witness, the first one of the 12 to share his faith with others and point to Jesus. And number three, he is the first to be called, along with his brother Peter. This is described in Mark 1, 16 through 18. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus met Andrew and Peter just after his baptism, and they became his disciples. But although they were Jesus' disciples, they still worked as fishermen. They were not called to full-time discipleship until this moment, beside the Sea of Galilee. Jesus provides a miraculous catch of fish and then asks them to follow him, and he will turn them into fishers of men. What Jesus is asking Peter and Andrew to do is become full-time followers. And that was quite a sacrifice, to leave their nets behind. They were business owners. I mean, they had a profitable fishing business. They owned boats. They owned nets. This was their livelihood. But now Jesus is saying, leave it all behind in order to follow him. Immediately, the Bible says, because of the power of God's word, they left their nets and followed him. For the next 3 years, they would spend almost every waking moment with Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, eating with him, asking him questions, seeing him do the fantastic miracles that only Jesus could do. But they did more than listen and watch. Jesus would do exactly what he said he would do. He trained them and turned them into fishers of men. He trained them to do the same work he was doing, extending the kingdom of God. Through the Lord's teaching, through the Lord's training, through the Lord's power, they became apostles. Mark 3, 14 through 16. And Jesus appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed Andrew. So a disciple is a student, someone who learns. All of us are called to be disciples. But an apostle means sent one. It's someone who is sent out by the Lord. That's what Andrew, Peter, and the other 10 disciples became. They were called to another calling, to be the sent ones, to be the apostles who would go out and carry on the Lord's work after he had ascended into heaven. Jesus used his 12 apostles to help him overthrow the kingdom of darkness and bring in his kingdom through the power of word and sacrament. Andrew and the other men were completely transformed by the teaching and training of Jesus. Andrew would experience so much in the coming years. He would experience all of Jesus' miracles. He would experience Passion Week. He saw the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He sat in the upper room while Jesus washed his feet. He sat at the table with Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper and was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was betrayed. Andrew would see the Lord crucified and would see for himself the risen Lord in the upper room, victorious over death and the grave. Andrew would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and saw his brother preach to that huge crowd, all in their own language. And that night he helped to baptize 3,000 people. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that happened to Andrew, but historical traditions tell us that Andrew would devote himself to the preaching of God's word as Jesus had called him to do missionary work. And Andrew especially concentrated his missionary work around the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. Tradition tells us that Andrew was eventually martyred for the faith around 60 AD in the city of Patras in Greece. We have a picture here of a church in Patras, which is dedicated to Andrew. There he was whipped severely by 7 soldiers and then crucified on an X-shaped cross. Like Peter, he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified the same way his Lord was crucified. This is St. Andrew Church in Patras, and it has a chapel with an X-shaped cross on it. It is said that it took 2 days for Andrew to die. But even in that excruciating pain, while he was on the cross, he continued to preach to his tormentors. Now, we don't know for sure when and how Andrew died. We know the traditions, but that's not scripture. We don't know when and for sure how Andrew died. But what we do know is Andrew, like the other apostles, was willing to die for his faith because he had seen the resurrected Jesus with his very own eyes. He went out from that moment on, from the power of Pentecost and from the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, to go and preach the gospel all over the world, risking his life and suffering martyrdom. We don't know exactly where Andrew died, but we do know where Andrew is right now, in heaven with the Lord. And that's more important than anything else. Jesus promised, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Andrew is home with the Lord forever, and by God's grace, may each one of us one day experience what Andrew is experiencing right now. May each one of us experience entering into the kingdom of God, into heaven itself, with the voice of our Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus.